we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday morning, Brevard County. This is the day that the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. Tonight is going to be family night at Merritt Assembly of God. We got our kids ministry, our boys ministry, our girls ministry, and those start at 6:30. 7 o'clock starts our adult Bible study where we are going through Psalm 91. We encourage you to come and be a part of that. On our Wednesday night class, I'm trying very diligently to put a handout of Psalm 91 in the hands of our people. And so if you come, there's probably some that are left over from weeks gone by. So come be a part of that. And we would invite you to come out. Runs from 7 to 7:45-ish. 7:45-ish. I try and end very much on time because of kids going to school and things like that. Most of the people who are in our adult service, they've got either kids or family members that they've got to get home. So I'm trying to be a good steward of your time. I want to take you back to Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 1. Not going to read the entire passage that I read yesterday. Whenever I start off in a new chapter, I do like to kind of read a contextual amount of verses there. But so if you'd like to go back and hear more of Isaiah 43, you can either read it there in your own scriptures, or you can go back and listen to yesterday's program on WMIEFM.com. You can go down and find the on-demand section. Click on to yesterday, which I believe was October the 11th, and you can listen to that like an on-demand feature there. Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 1. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by your name, you are mine. I saw an article recently, and it said this, that most of the politics in 2016 on the national scale, that most of what is taking place in both major political parties is fear-based. It is fear-based. Now, I know this, that it says in the Word of God that men's hearts fail them for fear. So I need to communicate to you today what God says hundreds of times in His Word, and that is, do not be afraid. Fear not. Don't let fear overwhelm you. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Perfect love casts out fear. A couple of weeks ago in Sunday school, I asked people, I opened the class in prayer, and there was I asked them, I said, how many of you learned something this week? And a lady raised her hand and she said, I learned that the devil operates in our lives through two primary means. One is deception and the other is fear. And then she said, because I heard my husband teaching on that, and I don't want deception in my life and I don't want to be ruled by fear. God does not want fear paralyzing us. He wants us to operate and walking by faith. So today I would like to declare your life a no fear zone, your job a no fear zone, your health a no fear zone, your finances a no fear zone. Do not be afraid. I worked for a company one time, and they paid their employees pretty well. It was a retail environment, and they wanted the best of the best. And so they offered people a huge incentive over what other competitors were paying. And so the people who came to work there were the best of the best, But then when they got there, they said, well, what we need you to understand is you have a quota and you don't set your quota. We set your quota. And if you don't meet your quota, you are going to be terminated. And so then all of a sudden you have taken these people who are obviously are very good at their jobs, and now they are not operating in their giftings. Now they are operating out of fear. And so you've created this competitive mindset. You have created this thing where this person over there hadn't met their quota and you haven't met your quota. So you've got to get that customer before they get their customer because you don't want to lose your job. I lived a great number of years with that type of mindset until one day where I was being told by my manager, look, the district manager is coming in, and by the end of the day, I could be fired, you could be fired, we could both be fired, you could be the manager, I could be gone. It was just a tremendous amount of fear and anxiety that was going on, and God spoke to me, and he said, Bob, how much do you make? And when I tell you this amount of money, it wasn't a lot of money, and there was four of us. There was myself, my wife, and two kids, and we were making $7.50 an hour. And he said, God spoke to me, and he said, Bob, how much do you make? And I said, $7.50 an hour. And he said, do you suppose that I could give you another job where you make $7.50 an hour if this person comes in and he fires you? And I said, you know what, God? I believe that you can. And I tell you that when that word came, the spirit of fear was broken in my life. And literally, that scenario, it didn't happen then. It happened with a different company later. Same person had gone to work for a different company. I got asked to come and work there temporarily by a friend of mine. And while I was there, this person came in and he tried to intimidate and bully. And I just looked at him and I said, you are not my provider. God is my provider. Would you like my resignation today, or would you like me to give you 2 weeks' notice? And he wasn't expecting that. You see, the world doesn't expect you to operate by faith. But the Bible says in the Old Testament, it says in the New Testament, it says for us, it said for Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And here is the reason. There's two reasons that are given in this passage for why you shouldn't be afraid. Now, before I get to that, let me take you to verse number 42. No, that's not verse 42. It's back in Isaiah 42. I told you on yesterday's program I would take you back to Isaiah 42. This is where I'm going to take you. And this is why the people of Israel, or the people of Judah, were afraid. Verse number 24 of Isaiah 42. Who gave Jacob for plunder and Israel to the robbers? Was it not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, nor were they obedient to his law. Therefore he has poured on him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and has set on him on fire all around. Yet he did not know, and it burned him, yet he did not take it to heart. So what happens is the people of Judah were living in fear because of their past failures when it came to their relationship with God. It says in verse number 24 there in the middle of the verse, it is he against whom we have sinned. In 2016, there are huge percentages of people that say, if I sin, it is no big deal. What is it to you? If I sin, how does that affect you? In a court, in a legal standing, they would say, do you have standing in this case? If you do not have standing, then you cannot bring this case. But I'm here to tell you that sin is not a little self-enclosed microcosm in itself. It has collateral damage. You not only sin, listen, the Bible says if you sin sexually, you have sinned against your own body. Okay? There is that. There is a sin that damages you. It impacts you. I believe that sin, it does terrible things to our person. We need to make sure that we do not do that. But the ultimate person that our sin impacts is God. So it impacts us individually, and on a larger scale, it impacts God. Here in verse number 24, it says, was it not the Lord he against whom we have sinned? Sin damages your relationship with God. So in the New Testament, there were people who said, well, if God has used all this for his glory, then why should I stop sinning? I should just go ahead and continue on sinning. You don't understand. Sin damages. Sin intensifies the misery in your life. It increases the guilt and the shame. And I will tell you this, many times there are consequences that a sin can have. A singular episode of sin can have lasting consequences on a physical level, on a relational level. It does damage. Anytime the devil tries to tell you that your sin is harmless, please understand that he is a liar and he's lying to you. Now, I will say this. If you know the person is a liar and you choose to believe them, there's a problem with you. Okay? And I will tell you this from dealing with families who've had people with drug problems, and they want to believe their family member. And I've seen over and over and over again where family members with drug problems have lied to their own family members and damaged that relationship. You see, not only does it damage you as an individual and damage the heart of God that you were created for him, and now you're utilizing your giftings, your skills, your assets, if you will, for the devil's purposes, it also impacts those around you. Early in my life, I mean, I was already in college, and I was already doing ministry and studying for the ministry, and I was there when I saw a person confessing their sins, and I saw the loved ones in their life experience the collateral pain and the damage that was done because of a sin that was committed in selfishness. And I tell you what I did. I said, God, I don't ever want to do that. I don't want to do that. So when we sin and we realize that we've sinned against God, we need to realize that all of a sudden that can cause a deal of concern, because God is not just your next door neighbor. God is the king of the universe. He is the one who brought you into existence. And to quote David Meese, a contemporary singer from a long time ago, when he was talking about his mother said to him, I brought you into this world. I can take you out. God is the one who, he's the only reason you're still alive. You don't want to make an enemy of God. And so the enemy, he will tempt us and cause us to sin. And then when we have sinned, all of a sudden, then he comes in with the fear. He comes in and he says, or here in Isaiah 42, verse number 24, the second reason is that they would not walk in his ways. There is fear because of our past failures, because we've sinned against God, we've refused to walk in God. And the third reason is disobedience brought displeasure to God. All of a sudden we realize that because we disobeyed, because we broke or violated God's law, all of a sudden he's not up there saying, that's my boy. All of a sudden now there has been a change not just in relational status, but in authority status. Okay? When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, there was a dominion transition that took place from man to Satan. Jesus came along, invaded death, hell, and the grave, and said, I'm going to take those keys back. They came from my Father, and I'm reclaiming this authority. And then he would go on to tell the disciples, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore. Okay. Grace is a wonderful New Testament concept because it says that because of God's gracious intervention in our life, that we get to walk in favor. We get to walk in blessing. We get to walk in newness of life. And so I encourage you today, don't let your past failures cause you to live a lifestyle of fear right now. I don't care what the economy does. You and I, if we are living in faithful obedience to God, we live in a divine economy, not a broken economy. Several years ago, when we found out there were going to be thousands of job losses here in Brevard County, and there were, and then there were collateral job losses in the area because each of those jobs had secondary effects. Businesses closed up. Property values went down. There was nothing positive that was looking up on the economic side of things in Brevard County. It was a very bleak picture. And so I was standing before our congregation at our annual business meeting. And I don't want you to think that I had these remarks planned, because I didn't. But the Spirit of the Lord rose up inside of me during that annual business meeting where we were communicating with our congregation. And I said, this is not the time to draw back. This is the time to press forward. And I tell you, I appreciate those moments where God's gift of faith operates in my life, because it would be very easy to say, well, it's the time to shrink back. It's the time to hold on. It's the time to fortify what we have and strengthen that which remains. And God is actually saying the time is short. I want you occupying till I come, doing business till I come, having spiritual transactions, because the days are coming close. The time is drawing near. The clock is running out. We need to be about the Master's business. And so we as a church decided that we were not going to be a church that was governed by fear, but instead we were going to operate with the power of God, because he had redeemed us and he is with us. It says there in verse number 7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. He is with us. Let's see. See if I can take you. Where did that verse go? I wrote down a verse, and all of a sudden, it is not there. Oh, that's not a 7, that's a 2. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And I, by the way, my handwriting was that of a person who did not get an A in penmanship. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. You see, when God is with you, you don't have to be afraid. He is an expertise. He's an expert in every field. He is able to navigate the greatest rapids. He is there to protect you in the most intense firefight. When you walk, it doesn't matter where you are, if it's in a place of abundance or a place of lack, God is with you. In ancient civilizations, up until probably 150 years ago, fire was a very dangerous thing. It is still out of control. It is still a very dangerous thing. But it could wipe out entire cities because there was no way to put the fire out. And he told his people, his covenant people that he had created for himself and for his glory, he said, "You don't have to be afraid because I'm with you. I'm with you." Today, do you realize that no matter how large the project or the deadline is that you have coming your way, that you don't have to be afraid because God is with you? As I got to thinking about that, I realized that this passage of Scripture was written before the children of Israel were carried off into Babylonian captivity. It was written before Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were people who had been carried off to the courts of Babylon. It was written before Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had refused to bow their knee to the 90-foot idol that Baal had erected. It was written before he said, "I'm going to give you one last chance, and if you do not bow your knee to that idol that I have made in my own image, then I'm going to cast you into this furnace of fire." This passage that said, "You don't have to be afraid because I am with you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you." This was written before they actually experienced it. And so they said, "Oh, King, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. We don't mean any disrespect to you, but it is against our law and it is an insult to our God for us to bow down to an idol of gold instead of to the living King of glory." And Nebuchadnezzar was infuriated and enraged, and he had them thrown into the fire. He had them thrown in bound. The furnace was heated 7 times hotter. It was so intense, an inferno, that the people who threw them into the fiery furnace, that they were actually killed in the process. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they got down into the fiery furnace, it said that Nebuchadnezzar looked down in there and he saw them walking around, unbound. I like that. That they went in bound, and all the flame did was set them free so that they could go, so that they could walk around. Now, I'm not sure that it was like a walk in the mall, but Nebuchadnezzar looked down in there and he said, "Guys, how many people did we throw in?" And they said, 3. And he said, "Well, how come there's 4 people walking around down in there?" You see, we read about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but God had already told them through the prophet Isaiah that that could be a reality that they could expect in their life. If they ever ended up in the fire, they didn't have to be afraid that he would be with them. He would be with them. And so they were summoned out of the fire. And it said that when they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. Now, I'll just tell you, I am so hypersensitive to people's cigarette smoke that I can catch it. I can catch a whiff of it. I can know that somebody is smoking. If I am driving down the street, if I come to a traffic signal and there can be a person 3 cars away, 2 lanes over, and I can pick up on that scent. I when I was in junior high school, there were some classmates that I had, and they would visit the school smoke hole that they had back in those days. And then they would go home and they said, "I don't understand. I came home and my mother knew that I had been smoking. I don't understand how that was possible." They didn't realize that the smoke that they of the cigarettes they'd been smoking, it had been absorbed into their hair. It had been absorbed into their clothes. It was in their breath and all of that. And so they didn't realize that there was those tangible indicators of the activities that they had been going on. But when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out, there was nothing. There was no external evidence that they had ever been in the fire. I preached a sermon one time about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the title of the message was, "They Were Too Hot to Handle." They were too hot to handle. Listen, if the devil has tried to take you out, if he's tried to get you to live by fear, but you are walking with the presence of the living Savior, your Redeemer and the lover of your soul, and he has protected you from every fiery dart of the enemy. Listen, I want you to know that when he's tried to kill you and he has failed, that he doesn't know what to do with you after that point in time. You realize that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and in the very next chapter it says that they were trying to kill Lazarus because people were coming to faith in Jesus because of what Jesus had done in Lazarus' life. I pray that whatever is going on in your world today, that you will realize today that you do not have to live in fear because you are called by the name of the Lord. You are His. You belong to Him. You are God's property. And today He's walking with you to protect you, to shield you. He's looking to give you a testimony that will be something that people that know you will say, "There's no other way they could have gotten through that except by the grace of God." I've got some things in my life that I said, "God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this." And after we got through it, I looked back and I said, "God, I still don't have any idea how we got through that, but I do know this, we got through. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Give fear an eviction order in your life today and say, "Faith, I want you to move in today. I don't want this to be an unoccupied dwelling. I want it to be a house of faith in the living God." May God bless you and give you a victorious day in Jesus' name. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."